Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Good. We have a subject today dealing with the Clintons.
Oh, no.
And we're going to look at and solve all the problems and all the mysteries of all the emails and the foundation, and so everybody knows what's going on. I wished I did understand it, but we're seeing and getting more information. Of course, the big news in the last day or two has been that this Romanian hacker has released the fact that he was able to hack into the Clinton Foundation report. And it's rather startling. We already know that, ethics is a marginal quality for Hillary. You know, she's been in serious trouble, you know, with the FBI and the government on how she handled her emails. And some emails just disappeared. Sometimes people get into trouble when they erase evidence. But so far, she doesn't seem to be bothered too much. And somebody mentioned, you know, she lost 33,000 emails, and we can't see them, and they're not available. But somebody said, yeah, but all the foreign governments have hold of these things, too. But now this revelation by a hacker, Guccifer, the number two, has revealed, and they were able to hack in here and give some startling information on what's going on. And it looks like it was well organized, and they just figured they could get away with it. It's a Bill Clinton Foundation, but it looks like it was designed to perpetuate the Clinton dynasty, to help Hillary and also help her during the time she was, Secretary of State. But there were just a few surprises in there. The extensiveness was what surprised me. And all the individuals who felt compelled to send Bill Clinton money in his foundation to do good around the world.
You know, what's interesting about it, as much as the content, which is fascinating, but is the fact that the mainstream media thus far has kept it at arm's length distance. You know, we talked just the other day about these 51 State Department employees who signed this little letter, and that was front page news, New York Times. But this, which appears to at least be massive foreign influence while Clinton was Secretary of State, it's hardly being mentioned in the mainstream outlets. Maybe it's yet to break. Maybe we're ahead of the curve, but it really hasn't. But if you think of just the magnitude of the foreign money that went into this Clinton Foundation from foreign governments, according to a 42-page summary, the foundation itself put out about its potential political vulnerabilities, one of the things they point out to Saudi Arabia, Norway, and other foreign governments, over $46 million donated to them. They must be very charity-minded to give.
Not that it matters much, but I wonder if there's any rules. I guess there's no rules against foreign governments donating to private foundations in this country. It seems like with all the regulations we have that somebody might have said, you know, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. But you know, Zero Hedge printed some of the Guccifer's hacks, and there are the Clinton Foundation's own views of its own vulnerabilities, and you just look at some of these at random, and every time you look at it, your jaw drops. An embattled businessman with ties to Bahrain's state-owned aluminum company gave between $1 and $5 million to the Clinton Foundation. The CEO of an Amsterdam-based energy company donated at least $1 million to the Clinton Foundation, and later announced at the 2009 GCI meeting a $5 billion project to build an environmentally friendly power station in Indian China.
You know, the other day we mentioned the amount of money this country still donates, and I believe the figure is accurate. Our people do donate a lot of money, like $380 billion. But I wonder if this qualifies for donating to a just cause and helping the poor. For some reason, I suspect there's a little bit more shenanigans going on here, and it just possibly could be buying influence.
Yeah, and just a couple of other ones. The Wall Street Journal tied foreign government donors to the Clinton Foundation's endowment fundraising under Secretary Clinton. So these things were happening while she was Secretary of State. The foundation was raising enormous amounts of money from foreign governments, government-tied business people. you know, this makes Watergate look like a walk in the park, yet again, the media is so far not jumping all over it.
And there's a little bit of stonewalling goes because evidently people were aware of these things going on even 10 years ago. They said that people have been requesting and trying to get the donors and have a little bit of transparency here. So it took 10 years, but it's very incomplete. They said that it doesn't tell you exactly who they are and their addresses, their telephone numbers, and this sort of thing. But there's more information now than before, but it's still not true revelation on who may have been influencing Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State and then setting her up. I think that was part of it. But part of it was laying this plan for being able to donate to a tax-exempt foundation, to Bill Clinton, which then can be used to promote her political career. And of course, we have the FBI, and the FBI is, there's some good people there, but we have the FBI and the Department of Justice. We have to be dependent on them. They'll bring justice to the world, so I imagine they'll soon reveal this, and there are some of our friends, including Judge Napolitano. He's rather clear on what he thinks she has done, something very serious, and believing it qualifies for a prosecution. But right now, I'm not that optimistic about our Department of Justice. I'm not going to hold my breath for that to happen.
Well, the other thing that's interesting, if you look at the mess that is U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, or just look at the mess that is the Middle East, you have to start wondering if you can put two and two together. Here's Saudi Arabia giving the Clinton Foundation millions and millions of dollars, and then here's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton following the Saudi line on, for example, the overthrow of the Assad government in Syria. Here's the U.S. State Department following the line that's desired by the Saudi government. Is there a tie? It certainly looks like there could be a case made for that.
Well, you know, the fact that the Saudis are a close ally of ours has always been a major question, but the media generally has ignored this. And I think it does persist. You know, all the way back to 9/11, or even before that, our alliance with them was very questionable. But especially since 9/11 and with these 28 pages of the Senate report that has been denied to the American people to see. So this is even more connection with our government and how these things operate. I cannot see any good coming from it. But what about this idea that if hacking occurs and you accuse somebody of hacking, that under international law or one of our agreements, it could be an act of war?
Yeah, this is actually something that, you know, NATO has been working on this for a number of years. They've been trying to get everyone to agree to it. Finally, on June 14th, just a few days ago, NATO announced that it would make cyber operations part of its domain. So along with air, sea, and land, cyber is another issue. So what it means is if a NATO member country is hacked, is computer hacked, the country that did it, the country that's a victim can invoke Article 5, which obligates all NATO members to attack the country that hacked that country's computers.
Okay, I have a question, though. Public record was showing it, whether these are Russians, the Russians are doing it. But it turns out it's probably the Romanians that are doing it. Could they ever make a mistake? Could governments make a mistake like that and start a war with the wrong people?
You can imagine. Oops, World War III starts. Oh, sorry, it was the Romanians.
Yeah, you hacked our computer, so what are we going to do about it?
And will we bomb Romania if it turns out it was a Romanian hacker who did it? You know,
I guess that we still don't know the damage done for her private server. You know, that's a little bit separate from the foundation, because that's been out pretty much in the open. There's been a lot of talk about it and whether or not there'll be prosecution. But I don't imagine we will probably ever know, you know, exactly the damage done by this. But obviously, it was feasible. If somebody out there can get into and find out what happens at the foundation, they surely, with the lack of security with Hillary's private server, it probably wasn't very hard for people to get that, and maybe there's a lot of stuff still floating out in the hands of people that they can use at a later date. You know, maybe the Chinese have this, and the Russians have it. Who knows who has all this information?
Well, you know, you've been critical of almost all the candidates throughout this entire election season, so you certainly can't be accused of just picking on Hillary. but this chapter between the homebrew private server in her bathroom and what we've been revealed with the foundation hack, it shows either startling incompetence or a startling level of corruption on the Clinton side, and it really makes you wonder how you can continue in a campaign with these revelations.
My take on that would be that she's blindly believing that it's very necessary to protect what she does from the people and not have any records kept. So it was her personal way of having personal privacy to do this, and it turns out it was probably very stupid the way she did it. But I think some people just think they're above the law, you know, and when you can get away with it, and they have notoriously gotten away, the Clinton. But a lot of politicians going, if you're on the right side of the Department of Justice, you can get away with things. If you're on the wrong side, sometimes they gang up on you.
What does this say sort of in a larger moral context about our society? You know, can you make any conclusions?
Cautiously, I would say that this is another sign that there's something desperately wrong with our society. I frequently, when I talk about economics and foreign policy at all, and try to get people to change policy and ideas have consequences. But then I keep thinking that nothing really happens unless there's a moral foundation. I think the founders recognize this too. This system doesn't work unless you have a moral people. And I think there's evidence that we have a less moral people today than ever before. And it's been said by some immigrants that have come legitimately from communist countries and saying that they see a similarity of a deterioration of society. Everything becomes corrupt. People resort to alcohol. And then there's aggressiveness in competition. The political parties fight. It's never a serious discussion on what should the role of government be, and is it a good idea to maximize liberty for individuals. It becomes very competitive. But if people are immoral, they use the government for getting the stuff that they want, and then they get the power. And I think that that's pretty close to where we are. I mean, we still have a lot of good people in the country, and we have people who object to this. But right now, when you look at it, when you look at our educational system and our political system and our banking system and what our government does to it, and then also how the people are able to use it. I mean, the corruption that is involved. And then when we have a crisis, there's the bailouts and more corruption. Corruption probably causes these problems, then there's more corruption. So the people who are trying to be honest, law-abiding citizens and raise children in a moral way, they sort of get lost in the mix. And unfortunately, I think we're approaching that.
I always remember what our friend Jeff Dice, now of the Mises Institute, told me one time. He said, a truly successful libertarian society would, in his view, have to be a more moral society rather than a more libertine society for the whole libertarian idea to work.
Yeah, and I think that's where we come up short. And we can talk about policy, we can talk about Keynesianism and Austrian economics, we can talk about non-interventionism, and I think we should. I mean, I believe in it and promote it, hoping that it has an influence. But I think ultimately the people's attitudes and the people's morality, pretty darn important, and that's not a government function. The government can't decide, well, we're going to have better families, and this is how we're going to describe a family life, and this is what these personal moral values are supposed to be, because that's out of the realm of government. So there's a role for all of us to play in both developing economic ideas, foreign policy ideas, but also all of us are involved in developing and trying to promote and encourage people to follow personal moral values, and most of us have some relationship to family in one way or the other, and we certainly should assume that responsibility to try to bring up children and influence people in a moral way and an ethical way so that the government isn't based on on theft and robbery and deceit and corruption. And unfortunately, I think we're slipping that way. But that doesn't mean that just because it doesn't look so good that we should give up on it. I think we just have to recognize how difficult the job is. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.